Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me,
how I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit, Father, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive. So, Father, that we can learn greater things in the truth of this your word, Father, so that we can walk closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and in more depth of your word, Father, so that we are pleasing to you and not to man or the ways of this world. Now, Father, I'm asking you to be with us throughout this study this evening. And I'm asking this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. You know, we always take communion of the evening. So if you've got your things ready, you'll take your bread. Get your bread there. We know that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And we do thank him. We thank him for all he's done and all that he's given to us and a way for you and I to grow stronger and all and walk with him each and every day. But we know he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Take your bread. Now get your cup. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So drink your cup. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And we give him praise, honor, and glory for all that he has done for mankind. All right. Now, if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Give you a second to get there. All right. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now we know that before Pentecost, the Holy Spirit work had been from without. But the Spirit, he would come upon them. But now, you know, the Spirit's work now is from within. It dwells within us. It's with us permanent because it lives within each one of God's children. Now, here in 2, it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. You see, on that day of Pentecost, God provided two symbols of the Spirit's presence. Was the wind. And the second was the tongues like as of fire that set upon each one. And it was that tongues of fire that would fill them with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now you see, there's a lot of things. Actually, you could take this chapter probably and preach probably 10, 15 sermons from this one chapter in bringing out everything about it and what it is. You know, we know that on the day of Pentecost, God provided those two symbols of the Spirit's presence, the wind, which was associated by the Jews with the Spirit, and the fiery tongues, which divided and rested upon each one, showing that the Spirit's baptism included all. For the sign, gift of tongues was not to make possible the hearing of the gospel, but to seize the attention of all so they would listen. The hearers were not pilgrims, but foreign-born inhabitants. They were not merely visiting, but living in Jerusalem, and only those from Rome are actually identified as visitors. Also, when the gospel is preached, Peter speaks to them all in one language. Now, mostly in Arabic. That doesn't tell us which one of the languages. He could use several different languages, but he spoke mainly in Arabic. And it doesn't tell us here which language he spoke in, just as he speaks in one. Now, here in Fuller. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, this is his disciples and all. Now what we need to understand, there is two things about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, here in 4 mentions only the filling with the Spirit. Both the filling and the baptism occurred. Christ promised that the baptism would occur. And Peter later affirms that it did happen at Pentecost. And the filling and baptism are two different works performed by the Holy Spirit. Note their contrast. One, following Pentecost, every believer receives the baptism of the Spirit. Hence, the New Testament never commands the Christian to receive it, but the filling of the Spirit is not experienced by all believers. And so is in command. The baptism is permanent, happening but once for all. The filling is ongoing, continuously as seen in the present tense imperative of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. That is, keep on being filled. The verse commands that be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And since Paul compares the influence of wine and the filling of the Spirit, the word control can aptly express the idea of either. The filling of the Spirit is the controlling influence of the Spirit within the believer. Such control is neither universal nor unending. Thus, it must be commanded and does occur within the believers. Peter and others had been previously filled on Pentecost. The objective full expresses the abiding character of a Spirit-filled man. But the participle form filled expresses an action performed at that moment. And the baptism is the act by which Jesus, through the Spirit at conversion, brings the believer into relation with himself and makes the believer a part of God's people, the church. The filling is the continuous experience within the Christian whereby the Spirit who already indwells him keeps control over his life. You see, this is why you and I have been given the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, is to help us with control. In giving us the power of Almighty God to work with and to work within us so that we can continue on that road of righteousness and not be drugged away by Satan or his little demons. You know, it is a way for you and I always be ready, which we need to be. Because as we go about our days in our life, we need to share the gospel every chance we get. So that means we are to be ready at all times. Well, as you know, as well as myself, that we on our own, we're not capable of that. It takes that Holy Spirit of Almighty God to see that we are always ready. Now, we'll pick up back up here now with verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. That's a lot of different people there in Jerusalem, isn't it? 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. You see, it wasn't just a gift of tongues. There was also a gift of hearing, because as they spoke, each different one was hearing in their own language. Now, 7. And they were all amazed and marvel, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? 8. And how we, every man, in our, how we hear, every man in our own language, wherein we were born. They were Athenians, Medes, Emilites, and dwellers in Postamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergai, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, the Bassarine, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? 13. Others mockingly said, these men are full of new wine. Now they got some of them there thinking they're drunk, because of the work of the Spirit. And you see, there is a lot of turning away from that. There's a lot of people that will walk into a church that speaks in tongues, and if they are all in there speaking in tongues, they leave. They will leave and they won't go back. Because without the Holy Spirit, they don't know what's happening. And they think that these people are just mad. As the Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that actually, when they come in and you're all speaking in tongues, you're a barbarian to them. And they want nothing to do with you. This is why there is being so much that is not taught in so many of our churches today, and that's why our churches have gotten weak. And they've grown weaker and weaker and weaker because the Spirit has left the church. When you have a church that will not teach you the truth of God's Word, and leave so much of it out. Then the Spirit is not in that church. Now, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. Now, this, as I've told you all many times, is one of the best addresses or services recorded. Peter, now, here in these next few verses. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. 15th, these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, 17, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and all my servants and all my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. You see, they use those verses there today in a lot of our churches to tell you, you see, God is telling the women they can be pastors. No, he's telling them to prophesy. He's not telling them to be pastors. He's done told them he does not allow that or permit it. And that's also in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and also in the 2nd chapter of 1 Timothy. And he makes it straight and straight to the point. They use things like this. That's what I'm talking about in taking away from the Word of God, adding to it and twisting and turning it to make it say what you want it to say. Because, you see, that's not what it has to say in those things. And yet, man does not want to believe the truth of God's Word. This prophecy he's talking about here, and he says that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. So you see, prophesy is sharing the gospel with others. But it's just where it's supposed to be and how it's supposed to be. Because the lady is not supposed to be teaching in the church. She can sit down and talk to anyone she wants to outside the church about the Lord. That's prophesying. But in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and with the 9th verse, says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness, sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls, for costly array, for which becometh women professing godliness with good works. He even tells them how to dress. 11. The women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. When you look that word up, suffer, you find that the definition for that is allow or permit. And he tells us there that he does not. I allow not, or I permit not a woman to teach or usurp authority over a man. He goes on to tell even why. And he tells you about Adam being first formed and then Eve, and about her being first deceived. And, you know, these are things that we don't really think about. But then you can go, because you see, he's not done yet. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and if you go to verse 32, we'll start there. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints, all churches of the saints, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? You see, that's God's word. So when you keep things in the context it's supposed to be in, and you don't add to it and twist and turn it to make it say what you want to say, you find that when you go to the Bible, God's word will give it to you straight and to the point. Now, 19. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 19. I will show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. 20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, he doesn't pull any punches. 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. You see, Peter, he's not walking around in anything or anyone, is he? And yet he is the very one that before the day of Pentecost and the baptism of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, He denied Jesus three times, once even with thirst, hiding, scared. He's not scared now, and he's sure not hiding. 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him. David, in his writing, he says, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. 26, therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Now, I told you that this is one of the strongest sermons recorded in the Bible. And this is Peter, that one that was so scared. And now he's speaking to a pretty good-sized group. And he's sure not afraid now, you see, because he's come right out of that upper room for this. And he has got that boldness that the Holy Spirit will give to all that are the children of Almighty God. Now, Verse 31. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. 32. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God, exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now, you see, that's how we know that Jesus is on the right hand of the Father, one of the places, but you will find it in a couple others. All right, now, 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's telling the Jewish people that are listening to him here, this group of around 3,000, You crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Now they're asking what to do. Peter said unto them, This is the first place you'll find where it states the change between the Mosaic law and the church age and the difference that is made. 38, then Peter said unto them, And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. You see, they don't go to anyone else or no one else and baptize in water for the remission of sins. They go to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent to him. And he tells them, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Most today that call themselves Christians have not completed the plan of salvation. Most even stand against it, and yet they call themselves Christians. 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. These changes fulfill this plan of salvation and get right. 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. This man that had been so afraid that he denied Jesus 3 times in one night, kept hiding, now he has stood and preached that kind of service to 3,000 souls that were saved. We don't know maybe how many more were there that didn't accept the salvation, that may have walked away. But we are told that about 3,000. 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And you see, this is the doctrine you and I are supposed to be in today, is the apostles' doctrine. Well, what's that? We've got an apostles' doctrine out here. That's not the apostles' doctrine. He's talking all about that apostles' doctrine. That's not the one he's talking about. What he's talking about is this book, this holy word, just as the apostles have recorded. And we are to teach it. That is the doctrine you and I are to walk in. 43. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. 44. and all that believed were together and had all things common. 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now you think, when I started this, I told you it wasn't me. I was led to do it by the Lord. Because as he had been dealing with me for quite a while, in the beginning of the church age, the churches taught daily, every day. They were not closed. They were there. And that has never changed, other than man changed it, but the word didn't change it. Now, he sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, so every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You see, this is why our churches are in the shape they're in today. That's also why the Bible tells us that judgment will begin at his house. God tells us that. It's going to begin, the judgment will begin at the church. Because so many of them have quit teaching the truth of the gospel of this book and went their own ways and using that single action and yet calling themselves Christians and believers in Christ. And they go to church couple of times a week, sit in church and do nothing, leave church, go out, continue doing the same old thing they were doing before time, living the same old fleshly lusts that they had before, and yet they tell you they are saved and they are a child of God. No, they're not. They're lost. And all that will follow them will end up just like them. But the Lord is the one that gives the increase. We share the word. We are to be out there sharing the word with all. With all of our families, all of our friends, and with all that we meet, if we get the chance to be able to speak to them. Business places we go even. And the people in that business place that even work there. When you get a chance to talk to them, you can always find a way to ask them if they know the Lord Jesus, or if he's in their life. And a lot of times you get up conversation because those that are there, if they do know him, or if they are trying to find him, they are willing to talk to you and to share with you what is on their mind and in their heart. When I went to Big Old Tar Company, as I was talking to the ladies who worked there on the counter to set my appointment all up, and I got to talking to them about the Lord. And before I got out, all three of them had taken the phone number down for our internet and all, so they could call in and listen to our teachings. Think about this. Because we are not to sit still and do nothing most of the time. We are to be out there working for Him and trying to get others in with us, doing everything we can to get them to join with us in these studies and things so they can hear the Word of God. All right. We have now come to the end of chapter 2. We'll be stopping here for this evening. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for those that listen to us and that does speak to others. Because we do hear, Father, from others from time to time that has shared things with other people about the ministry. And Father, this is not my ministry, it's yours. You sent me here as an overseer and as the pastor. But we know, Father, that it's your ministry. That's the way it should be. You give the increase, Father, and we are to share your word. Now, Father, I pray for Israel, for peace. I pray for them, Father, to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, because the law, Mosaic law, Father, has been fulfilled. We are now in the New Testament age, this church age, Father, and we know the time is drawing near for the Lord to come back with his church. Now, Father, this land of ours that is filled with so much evil because we sat back and did nothing and we let those in high places, high offices of our government that's filled with evil, a lot of evil upon our people, Father. All the things that are good, evil, and evil things, good. And getting things into our school against our children, Father, doing everything they can do to tear this land, this country down. Now, Father, I pray that they be removed from office, placed with those that belong to you, that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church, loves your people and this land, and will work with us to bring this land to repentance and to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for each and every one that hears these messages, that joins with us. I'm praying for them, Father, that this night, that you keep them in health, keep them safe. Father, and those that are in need, fulfill their need and bring them close, Father. And bring us all back together again in the morning in time for the study. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. I pray you have a good evening and a good night. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Good night, all.